First on our list, we have Senate File 2548, Senator Hochschild. Please come up, introduce yourself, and proceed with your testimony. And Senator, I understand you have the A2 author's amendment. So if you can, please briefly tell us about that amendment.
Yes, sorry.
No problem.
And Mr. Chair, could you remind me which of the two bills we're hearing first?
Yep, Senate File 2548.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm presenting today Senate File 2548, which is a permanent university fund bill. And to the chair's point, I do have the A2 amendment. Chair, it might be helpful if I kind of explain the bill and then explain what we did with the amendment. Is that okay?
Okay. Yes, yes.
So I'll explain the bill and kind of say what we did with that amendment. So this bill would update state statute language to better utilize available resources and bring more benefit and workforce development to the Iron Range in Northeast Minnesota. It specifically addresses workforce development in mining, mineralogical, and mining-related fields and seeks to utilize funds to provide scholarships for students seeking to go into these fields. The A2 amendment would allow us to prioritize students in the Minnesota Economic Development Region 3, which is northeastern Minnesota. And this bill sort of specifically provides a little bit of a broader definition of what the scholarships can be used for to include STEM-like careers.
Thank you, Senator Hochschild. I will move the A2 author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment is adopted. Senator Hochschild.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have two testifiers, Lynn Williams, who is with the University of Minnesota Duluth, and Mo Brenda, who is with also with the University of Minnesota Duluth.
Thank you so much. And I believe our first testifier is on Zoom. So please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Great. Thank you very much for having me today. My name is Lynn Williams, Chair Fateh and Vice Chair Putnam, committee members. Nice to see many of you again today. Thank you again for your time and for the ability to join you remotely, as I had some things on campus today that I couldn't step away from. So again, my name is Lynn Williams. I'm the Chief Marketing Public Relations Officer for the University's Morris and Duluth campuses. And what that means is I also help oversee government relations for the different campuses. Thank you for Senator Hochschild for carrying this bill and helping with your support. And I would also like to thank Senator Rarick for co-signing the bill, but also for carrying it last year and your support getting this moving last year, along with co-signers from Senator Eichhorn and Farnsworth. We appreciate the regional support that we have for this bill. I will send my regrets from our Swenson College of Science and Engineering Dean, Wendy Reed, who is currently busy meeting with the provost of Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College about various partnerships and collaborations that we work on with them. And that is the college most directly affected and impacted by this. And you'll hear from my colleague Mo in a little bit to be able to provide more details. So I'm gonna sort of step back and give some context and some history to the permanent university funds. As mentioned, the bill seeks to update the state statute language to better utilize available resources and bring more benefit and workforce development to the Iron Range and Northeast Minnesota. We feel that these updates allow us to better serve our region, and we're grateful for the conversations that we've had with our local delegation, as well as our higher education partners to help inform these updates. A quick overview of permanent university funding. The 1851 charter that formed the University of Minnesota included lands that were granted by the United States Congress in support of a university. This is part of what makes us a land grant institution. A significant portion of the permanent university land contains valuable deposits of iron ore and taconite. The revenue from this land is deposited into an account known as Permanent University Fund, or you'll hear the university refer to this as PUF, PUF funding. The investment management of PUF is under the jurisdiction of the University of Minnesota Board of Regents, and the PUF funds are specific and exclusive to the University of Minnesota. The income must be used to enhance the mission of the university, and the appropriation cannot be used to reduce any other appropriations. The fund is split into four different accounts. And we're seeking language updates to one of those four portions. Our goal is to modernize the language, stay true to the original intent of the legislation, which is to support workforce development in mining, metallurgical, and mining-related fields. UMD and the Swenson College of Science and Engineering are committed to our land grant mission and the responsibility to support education for the Iron Range industries and communities. These updates do not affect other entities or funds, and there is no fiscal note. These edits impact this one portion of the statute, and it is a portion that is already designated to the University of Minnesota Duluth. And we do have University of Minnesota leadership, system leadership, supportive of this bill. So I'll pause there before Mo Benda can provide more information and turn it back over to you, Chair Fatte.
Thank you so much for your testimony. I believe our next presenter is Mo Benda, who is also online. Oh, is in person. Oh, thank you. So please proceed with your testimony and introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Fatte, Vice Chair Putnam, and committee members. I am Mo Benda. I'm the director of our graduate engineering program on the Iron Range, so UMD's graduate engineering program. So regarding this, the way the language was originally written, the funding in this endowment could only be used for one singular engineering program, and which we are currently fulfilling on the Iron Range. It's really the program of which I have ownership over and oversight over. And there's more good, I think, that we can do with this. And there are financial resources available in the fund that we can't use right now with that restriction. And these changes would allow us to do more and provide scholarships to many students on the Iron Range, over 300 that are currently at UMD. This could help in the STEM sciences and the Swenson College. The proposed updates to the PUF state statute maintain the connection and intent for the Iron Range academics and scholarship support through UMD by broadening the language to allow for additional academic programs and undergraduate students committed to STEM careers. They also maintain the focus on supporting workforce development and collaboration, benefiting regional academics, industry, and natural resources on the Iron Range in Northeast Minnesota, and emphasized in collaboration with our Minnesota North colleagues. I run the Iron Range Graduate Engineering Program and maintain an office at the Mesabi Range campus of Minnesota North College. And this college continues to be an important partner. And with this change and additional resources that come with it, we hope to expand our collaboration with all of the five Minnesota North campuses. We expect to have more alignment and collaboration with these campuses and to better support students wanting to transfer to UMD after successfully completing their two-year degrees at one of these five campuses. As well, we plan to expand our outreach programs in cooperation with the Minnesota North College and to get more K-12 students interested in STEM and careers, whether they go to Minnesota State North campus or whether they go to UMD, that they've made a decision to be in STEM. One other update I want to point out that we recommend is to move forward from a fixed scholarship amount of $6,500 a year maximum to a percentage of, or 75% of the current tuition rate. That change would allow for automatic adjustments in scholarships, no matter what the tuition rates may be. So with these minor updates, the university is able to effectively use the available resources for optimal impact on the Iron Range now and continuing on into the future. So we ask and appreciate your support for this to get done. And with that, my colleague Lynn, we stand for questions.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions from our committee members? Seeing none, any final words before we proceed? Senator Hostraub.
Thank you, Chair Fatah, for the opportunity. You know, I think it's important to note that this fund was established and is funded by the taconite iron ore industry in northern Minnesota. And I think what we're really trying to do with this fund is provide for the future job opportunities in our region. And so this is really just a fix that allows us to expand the opportunity to our students and to ensure that we're expanding into the STEM related fields that may not be directly related to mining, but sure as heck matter a lot to the industry. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Senator Hochschild. It looks like we'll be sending your bill to general orders. Senator Rarick, would you like to move Senator Hochschild's bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rarick moves that Senate File 2548 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to general orders. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. That bill as amended is sent to general orders.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Good to meet you. Yeah.
Thanks for your.
Yeah.
Members, our next order of business is Senate File 2326, Senator Hochschild. To the bill when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Putnam. I have Senate File 2326. This bill provides a much-needed increase in funding for the Minnesota Natural Resources Research Institute in order to bring its funding back in line due to many years of lacking to keep up with inflation. As a critical part of the University of Minnesota's research enterprise, the NRRI is embarking on state-of-the-art research to deliver innovative tools, practical applications, and key solutions to Minnesota's precious natural resources. NRRI employs over 140 scientists, engineers, technicians, staff, and students in two industrial research facilities in northern Minnesota, in Hermantown and Coleraine. The Natural Resource Research Institute was established by the Minnesota Legislature in 1983 as an applied science and engineering research organization to inform state citizens and decision makers while leveraging the power of the University of Minnesota. The forward-looking charter provided by the legislature is to foster the economic development of Minnesota's natural resources in an environmentally sound manner to promote private sector employment. As one important example, the NRRI is working to develop three solutions to ensure Minnesota meets its sulfate level of 10 parts per million liters of water in bodies as it relates to mining, agriculture practices, and power generation. This endeavor ensures that disbursements from water from mining in northern Minnesota would actually meet higher clean water standards than current drinking water standards, if you can imagine that. We must be a state that can do both, protect our environment for generations to come, and encourage new economic development. NRRI is helping us meet that goal, and I'm proud of the work that they do. With that, I do have one testifier who's an expert and leads this organization, and I will stand with questions.
Thank you, Senator Hochschild. Our first testifier, Mr. Weberg, if you would please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Putnam, and members of the committee. Good to see some familiar faces. My name is Rolf Weberg. I'm the Executive Director of the Natural Resources Research Institute. I'm very pleased to be here. I'd like to thank Senator Hochschild for introducing us, that kind introduction. It's a real pleasure to sit here with you today to talk to you about what NRI is, and basically what we're talking about is an investment in your institute. As Senator Hochschild laid out, the legislature created the Natural Resources Research Institute for the legislature to make good, sound, long-term decisions regarding how we utilize and take care of our natural resources here in Minnesota, of which we have plenty. So what I want to start, you have a two-face here. I'll start with a very brief introduction of what is NRI for those of you that aren't that familiar with it. NRI is a mission-driven, project delivery-focused organization focused on research for Minnesota's natural resources. We're a non-academic unit. We have lots of students working with us, but we are focused on delivery of solutions for the state of Minnesota. Our goal is to translate good science, engineering, and economics into decisions for the state. The mission, as it states here, is to, the first four words that all you need, really need to read is to deliver, and you need to deliver within 2 years to show that we integrated research solutions, which means we tie together the different disciplines of science, engineering, and economics to provide those solutions. We break our conversation into three areas: the iron and minerals of the future, where we're looking at what are our iron resources today and tomorrow, how do they relate to our critical mineral resources, and how does that relate to our water and timber resources in the state? How do we take care of all three? our future forest industries. Right now we have four paper plants. Each one represents $1.3 billion investments, and those the paper industry is in trouble. How do we turn the front end of those into chemical plants that can do something constructive with our woody wood basket? And finally, where we start and end our conversation is ecosystem resilience. We need to understand the world we live in, the impacts we have on it, and how to manage that for the good of all, so that everybody benefits from the economy we have here in Minnesota. And in the bottom, I make the point that we don't do this work by ourselves. Nobody does any work like this by themselves. We do that by fantastic partnerships, not only around the state, but across the country and now around the world. And I'll give you some of those details in the second side of the sheet. So bottom line, what we're asking for is an investment for base funding for NRI to be at $8.4 million. If you look at the base funding history, just by an extrapolation of when NRI started in 1983, the extrapolation would put it somewhere between $9 and $10 million, just based on inflation. We're not asking for that. What we're asking for is a number that we've modeled 15 different times, looking at the kinds of skill sets, support, and special talents we need in order to carry out our mission for the state of Minnesota. We did get a $2 million bump in 2017 with President Kaler at the time, but that has not kept pace with inflation. It didn't make up where we were, and the cost of doing this kind of research keep going up. NRI has grown from 30 to 140 researchers in that time period, from 20 to over 140 projects at one time that we're driving consistently now. We have grown from one facility to three, if you count our FENS facility out in the middle of the state, where we're rehabilitating wetlands in the state of Minnesota. So the critical investment targets that we were asking for here is really to invest in critical mass. We're almost there. We need to attract and retain top talent to come to NRI. The way I have to do that, if I'm going to hire you as an engineer, I'll give you a great job, but you got to raise 50% of your own salary and benefits. That's okay. We're very competitive, but that it puts us at a bad competitive point when we go for federal grants, because the people we compete against only have to make up 10% or 15% of theirs. So it puts us at a disadvantage right away. And if you're one of the top scientists in the country and I tell you to come work for half your salary, what job are you going to take? So in spite of that, we've been able to attract some very, very talented, top-notch people that come from around the world. We're welcoming people from as far away as South Africa, India, and Puerto Rico to come and work with us. We have a top-notch group working on metallurgy. We have a top-notch group looking at our water resources around the world, and these people are working together to bring this forward, but we have to invest in the critical mass. Competition for federal grants, we are increasing. I'll give you some good stories about that in a moment. We need to upgrade our infrastructure. We have snowdrifts inside our buildings in the winter and our coal rain site, which is a little bit something we need to be able to take care of by ourselves. We also are very active in expanding our outreach and our entrepreneurial support, particularly through Launch Minnesota with DEED. We have an opportunity to help people with good ideas to build their small factory, prove it out, and give them an opportunity to succeed. So it's nice to hear about what I want, but let's talk about so what. In my past life at DuPont, that was the most important question we got asked at the end of the conversation, so what? Well, the impacts of what I'm going to talk about next, these impacts and outcomes for Minnesota. We're driving new economic opportunities. These are recent things, by the way. I think you've heard of Form Energy, the iron air battery that's coming to Minnesota with Xcel as well as Great River Energy. We've been working with them since 2018. We're part of their team. I was on the phone with them for an hour on the way down this afternoon. That's a deliverable. In Overtree, we've been working on a hybrid poplar species for the past 20 years. That technology is now commercialized. It's going to be the fastest growing tree, 7 years, fast growing biomass. That translates into carbon sequestration. That's a boon for the state. Looking at informed management decisions, we've introduced the Natural Resources Atlas for the state of Minnesota, where any one of you without GIS training, which includes me, can go and look at over 500 layers of data, whether it's demographic, natural resource, water, or even hiking trails, or minerals, or anything else you want to look at. You can look at overlay maps at a snap of a finger. Very, very simple. It's now being used by all of our agencies across the state. Attracting enhanced federal support. 2 years ago, we were able to get $450,000 to look at Iron of the Future conversations that we're driving here in the state. We turned that into $4.5 million from the Department of Energy, and we're looking at another $500 million coming to look at advanced pellet manufacture that take Minnesota iron into higher value products, and also start putting it into electric arc furnace capabilities where we aren't using fossil coal. These are exciting developments that we're delivering for Minnesota. Accelerating commercialization, Arborwood, new business in northern Minnesota, taking poor wood species and turning them into materials with a technology from Finland. We have increased business and industry opportunities. We are working directly with Louisiana Pacific at our facility. We also have a direct line with the Finnish government talking about natural resource industries and how we can bring their success to Minnesota. These are some of the things we're delivering just in the past 2 years with what we've got today. Think what we could do next. As we look forward, we have an enhanced state agency collaboration with all the agencies, DNR, MPCA, IRRR, DEED, and Commerce. We're heavily engaged with those as well as the research arm for the state of Minnesota. And we are very proud to be driving the translation role within the University of Minnesota, one of the biggest universities in the world, and driving the power of that university across the state. So that's what we're asking for, and that's what we're telling you we want to give you back, you being representatives of the state and the citizens of the state. So I thank you, and I'll yield to any questions you might have, and thanks again, Senator Hausschild.
Thank you, Mr. Weberg. Members, questions or comments for the author or the testifier? Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I will just say that if you are lucky enough to get yourself an invitation to the Natural Resources Research Institute, you should go. It is fascinating, and as I have observed over the years, I think doing really important work for Minnesota and for us, and I am excited to see I'm finally on a committee where you are here talking about the work that you do, so I really appreciate that. Thanks, Senator Hausschild, for bringing this forward.
Members, any other comments or questions? Seeing none, Senator Murphy moves that Senate File 2326 be laid over for possible. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Hausschild, final comments.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Putnam. You know, I would just say we have a lot of big goals that we have to address when it comes to our environment, when it comes to addressing climate change, reaching some of our new goals that we've set here in the Minnesota legislature. And Minnesota has been known as an innovative state. We have Fortune 500 companies. We have, you know, research in healthcare and agriculture and mining that has occurred and brought us to where we're at today. But innovation and ingenuity and research and these things don't just naturally happen. We have to put our money where our mouth is when it comes to this type of ingenuity. And there's no better place that I have found yet than NRRI for the type of breakneck technology and breakneck innovation that we need as a state that serves us as a region and a country. So I hope that you'll help support us, bring us back to a funding level that, to Mr. Weberg's point, is not actually at the level it was when it was first established. It's still below it, but it's a level that he feels would help us deliver the results that we need. And so I appreciate everybody's consideration and your time today.
Thank you for the bill and for your comments, Senator Hausschild. I apologize for my overly enthusiastic movement to move the bill. Senator Murphy again moves that Senate File 2326 be laid over for possible inclusion. This bill will be laid over for possible inclusion. Members, our next bill was to be presented by Senator Kupak, but unless he's gotten very small, I don't think he's here right now. Instead, playing the role of Senator Kupak will be Senator Rarick. Senator Rarick, if you would please take the seat, introduce your bill. Senator, I understand we have two testifiers, Ms. Gudmestad and Ms. Olson. If you'd like to come to the table, please, and take a seat. Senator Eric, to your bill.
Thank you, Chair Putnam. And as they're getting set up, I'll make a couple of comments. I was not prepared. I don't have any remarks prepared, but I will say this is an organization that I have supported and carried their bill in the past. I know they'll be able to speak to what they do far better than I can, but it is a group that I have been very, very happy to support as they come and tell you the story of what they're doing. I think you will all agree this is a very worthy investment, and I was fortunate enough to present two other bills today, but being here, we saved the best for last, and I truly mean that. So if they are ready, I would be happy to turn it over to the testifiers.
Thank you, Senator Roderick. Our first testifier is Ms. Gudmestad.
Correct.
If you could please, Ms. Gudmestad, state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Absolutely. Thank you. My name is Amy Gudmestad. I'm the Executive Director of Minnesota Independence College and Community. Chair Putnam, thank you, Senator Rarick, for stepping in, and committee members. I would like to thank you all for your time today as I speak in favor of Senate File 2084. MICC is a post-secondary college program and after-graduation services for emerging adults on the autism spectrum and with learning disabilities. With the autism diagnosis on the rise, this is a critical time to expand our program and to serve more students while also making sure it is affordable to families at all income levels. We are proud of our programming and the success that our students achieve, far exceeding national statistics. MICC is the only program of its kind in the nation, and we are committed to continuing to do this work with you to make Minnesota a leader in education for all students, including those that require a different pathway to success. When discussing the need for MICC programming, it is important to understand the national statistics about young adults with autism and learning disabilities. Only one-third of the individuals with autism have any form of post-secondary education. Less than a half will have held any paid employment within 4 years of graduating from high school. 87% will continue to live at home with their parents after high school. And 24% are considered socially isolated, meaning they have not had contact with anyone outside of their family for over a year. And that is a pre-pandemic statistic. These statistics are not a reflection of a lack of desire or ability. It is a lack of options. At MICC, we provide the opportunity for these young adults to completely transform their future by gaining the skills they need to live independently, secure and maintain meaningful employment, and to be a part of a community where they feel accepted and appreciated. It is projected that on average, 100,000 individuals on the autism spectrum turn 18 in the United States every year. This adds up to 1 million youth on the autism spectrum entering adulthood over the next decade. In Minnesota, the number of students with autism receiving special education services has grown by 138% since 2009. One of MICC's strategic goals is to expand our impact, including serving more people. And with your support, we can. MICC's class of 2025 was the largest and most diverse class. We increased our diversity with our incoming class by approximately 33% over last year. Additionally, MICC has focused recruiting students from across the geographic regions in the state of Minnesota, not just the Twin Cities. We've increased our percentage of incoming Minnesota residents, students, to 92%, with 11 counties now being represented. MICC is dedicated to our goal of expanding our impact and serving more people. MICC has waiting lists, and we are working to build out new programs to reach the underserved autistic adults who are seeking the classes and the services to develop the skills they need to learn how to live independently and be employed. Additionally, MICC continually monitors Minnesota's workforce needs And in partnership with Century College, we provide career certificate and training programs in high-need job areas. MICC's career certificates include retail, hospitality, and health services. We are proud of the employer relationships we maintain and who is hiring our graduates. Our students and graduates work at over 50 different employers, such as Delta Airlines, Walgreens, Great Wolf Lodge, Presbyterian Homes, Best Buy, Speedway, the Guthrie, the YMCA, and more. We are proud of our employment rate, which currently stands at 98%. It is important to note that in addition to the community benefits, MICC provides a strong financial return on the investment back to the state of Minnesota. Wilder research found that with every dollar investment from the state to MICC, there is a $38 return. I would like to sincerely thank you for your support of MICC. Your investment continues to have truly incredible impact in the lives of our students, our graduates, our families, and citizens across Minnesota and the country. With your permission, Chair, I would like to now share a video with you and the committee. Our students wanted to be here, but they are in class or working today, so this video allows you to hear from some of our students. And then following that video, I have MICC graduate Jenna Olson that would like to share a few words.
If I could go back in time and say something to my high school self, it would definitely be, you don't know how much you're capable of.
I came to MICC to learn about how to get a job after I graduated.
Laundry used to be such an impossible feat.
I didn't think I could speak up for myself that much.
I want people to know with disabilities that you can still go to college and have a great life and learn how to live independently.
Just because someone has it doesn't mean they can't be successful.
Autism is not necessarily a disability. It has like some disabilities and it has different abilities.
Everyone with autism has their own little ways of making things work. And it's all about identifying how the person goes about to expressing themselves and those quirks and what they want to do.
I'm tired of being told I can't, and I want to show them I can. And everyday tasks may be difficult for us at first, but once we learn how to do it, we just need the support.
It takes a lot of practice to do so. The more you practice, the more you get better at it. And that's how you develop that skill.
I feel like sometimes I can't do things, but then I realize, oh yeah, I can.
I know it sounds a little cliche, but no matter who you are, no matter what you're diagnosed with, no matter all the labels that you have, and all the labels that the world gives us, it's nothing.
Neurodiversity is, we don't fit the standard idea of how a person behaves, how a person thinks, but that doesn't mean we're any less human.
MICC, I feel, delivers that missing link, that little extra oomph to be able to figure out what we want to do and to kind of break out of the mold.
Do what makes you happy. Do what you're passionate about. Don't let people tell you what you can't do.
Thank you for that, Ms. Goodman-Said. Ms. Olson, if you would please state your full name for the record and tell us your story, if you would please.
Yes, Chairman Putman. My name is Jenna Olson. I'm a 2020 graduate of MICC. I'm originally from Duluth, Minnesota, and now I'm a resident of Richfield, Minnesota. Thank you to the Higher Education Committee. If not for your investment, I would not have been able to attend and graduate from MICC. It was my mom who first learned about MICC at a high school research fair. It honestly felt like a dream come true. There are very few options for education after high school for people with autism, and MICC seemed like the perfect fit to help me successfully transition from high school to the real world. There are so many young adults like me that just need a different educational pathway to reach our potential, and I am just so grateful to MICC for their mission and for believing in me. When I was in the undergraduate program, I participated in the health services certificate program, and now I am a pharmacy technician for Walgreens. My main tasks are typing and filling prescriptions, answering the phone, and just providing good customer service. I never envisioned that I could have a position like this, but through MICC's intensive career program training, I gained the tools and confidence I needed to get this job. MICC helped and supported me through the whole process with resume assistance, mock interviews, and just being there to answer any questions I had. Having the people at MICC in my corner was a game changer both for my job and my everyday life. Even though I graduated from the college program in 2020, I am still a part of MICC through the community program. I have an advisor who I meet with once a week to check in and see how my week went, go over any concerns that I have, and just talk about life. I also have a wellness coach who meets with me once a week and helps me maintain a healthy lifestyle. MICC also has very fun elective courses and excursions. An elective that I participate in currently is called Rock Band, where me and a few friends of mine get together and we just basically rock out on our selected instruments. My role is that I sing and play piano. I'm not sure what life would be like if I didn't join MICC, you know, because I have grown so much both personally and in my career choices. Without MICC, I would probably still live with my parents. MICC has given me an entirely new perspective on life, and now the possibilities are endless. I would like to say thank you to the Minnesota legislators for their continued support of MICC. Without your support, MICC couldn't be what it is today. The tuition relief you provide is critical in making sure access to this necessary educational pathway is affordable for families of all income. MICC has helped so many students like me with autism and differences reach our full potential. When you support MICC, it is saying that you believe in me and students like me, and for that, I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you very much, Ms. Olson. Members, questions for our testifiers or the author? Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank everyone for coming today, providing testimony, bringing that video forward. I've had the ability to meet with some students earlier this session from MICC. What an unbelievable asset we have here in the state of Minnesota. It's my understanding that folks from all across the country actually seek it out. So this bill is a no-brainer. Thanks to Senator Kupek and Senator Rarick for bringing it forward and presenting it. Look forward to supporting it. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. Members, any other questions or comments? Seeing none, Senator Rarick moves that Senate File 2084 be laid over for committee. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that again. Final comments, Senator Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I just, the video was great, but I do wish we'd have been able to have more students than just Jenna here today. You can't help but feel their excitement, feel the energy that they have that MICC has really brought out when they come and visit you. So if you have a chance to visit with their students or get to their campus and check it out, I highly recommend you do so. It is a wonderful place, and I'm glad we can support their work.
Thank you, Senator Rarick. Senator Rarick moves that Senate File 2084 be laid over for possible inclusion, and so it will be. Members, that's the end of our business for the day. So the Minnesota Senate Higher Education Committee is now adjourned.